Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world. Hey guys, welcome back to Unpacking Design. Today's topic relates to a previous one that we did on burnout. This one is, since that one was more focused around you, Mike, where it was more of your personal story of burnout, this one is sleep. Unpacking sleep.
Okay.
The reason why this is a big topic for me is because I used to have trouble sleeping at night, and it was because I always had ideas in my head. So in my past, I've always gone to bed, laid there, and it would take about an hour to finally fall into some kind of sleep where I would then wake up with more ideas, and then I'd have trouble falling back asleep.
Right.
Nowadays, I fall asleep pretty well. And there's a big difference between that time in my life and the time that we're in now.
Sure. Yeah.
So back then, when it was hard for me to sleep, I used to struggle with coming up with new ideas. It would always be the same ones, but just a better version of that one.
Yeah.
And sometimes those better versions turned out to be, it was actually not that good of an idea. It was actually something that sucked, but I think my mind was just trying to evolve an idea. And at the time, it also had bad impacts on my health. It had bad impacts on my relationships and just how I spoke to people outside.
Sure. Yep.
And I don't think a lot of designers think about this at all. But when we enter design school, we always go into this place where everyone seems to look at not sleeping as a prize. You know, the less sleep you get, the more you can be confident about being a great designer.
Right.
And I don't know how the two were correlated, but it was just this sense of pride that people had. And I think it's important for us to unpack this because a lot of students are going back to school soon at the time that we're recording this, which is mid-August. And I think it's important for students who listen to podcasts to hear this episode because I think it's important for them to understand that throughout the semester, they're going to be challenged with a lot of design tasks and classes that they have no idea how to, you know, pursue. And at some point, they're going to have to sacrifice something in order to get more time to finish their project. And I don't think it should be sleep. So let's just talk a little bit about my past and then go into some research on sleep and then talk about how people should actually look at it and why it's important for them to sleep more often. So in my past, I used to sleep, you know, maybe 6 hours a night. And when I entered design school, that immediately changed. I started sleeping maybe 5 hours a night, 4 hours a night.
Yeah.
Towards my senior year of architecture school, I got to a point where I was just falling into that habit that everyone else had of like getting so much pride in not sleeping that I ended up sleeping an hour a night every weekday. And then I would sleep 8 hours on the weekends, right? And that was, at the time, for some reason, my mind thought it was working. Like, I was going in, I was designing stuff in the computer lab, like designing a building and everything, talking to my professor, talking to my friends, having a good time, just chit-chatting, and like constantly working.
Right.
And in my architecture studio, right upstairs from the computer lab, I had this little green chair from Target that I bought, and it was just sitting there. It was one of those comfy butterfly chairs. And once the time came where my mind felt so tired and I just couldn't look at a screen anymore, I went up, set my alarm for an hour, and I just took a nap. Woke up, went right back downstairs and did my work again. And that was me day to day. And I was just like, why am I doing this myself? But at that time, I was just like, I personally believed that I was making progress.
Right.
In reality, I was just sitting there looking at the screen, and in my mind, I was working fast, but in reality, I was probably working really slow.
Yeah.
And if you want to know what that looks like, you just have to talk to anyone who pulled one all-nighter in their life. Talk to them the next day and listen to how quickly they talk, how quickly they can process things when you're talking to them. And then from there, you'll immediately see how sleep deprivation actually impacts your personal health. So after that time, I decided the year after I was going to get at least 7 hours of sleep every night, which I started doing. And then from thereafter, I realized a noticeable difference in how I was pursuing design projects, how I was working, how much I was able to take on every day, and the clarity that I started to have. So as I started sleeping more, I started to see that my projects were evolving a lot faster. Every day that I got, that I went into the architecture studio, I would have a lot more energy to sit behind a computer, do my thing. And once I started to see that I was trailing off and I was slowing down, I would leave and I'd go back to my house. I would cook some food and go to sleep. And for me, it's an important distinction between the year before and the year after. After I graduated from that senior year and I started sleeping more, things were way different. I was a lot happier too. I had more energy to do things. I started running. You know, like I started living a life that felt more fulfilling than waking up every day and just looking at a screen and trying to design these projects.
Right.
And from there, I, you know, years after that, now in today's world, I got very interested in sleep just to learn more about it. And I read a book by Arianna Huffington called The Sleep Revolution, which is a very good book where she goes really in depth with research. Her bibliography in that book is astounding. Like the scientists that she interviewed, the work that she read, just to put that book together is, you know, the way that she did is very good. It's a book that I think everyone needs to read, especially when they're going into design school or coming out of it. And the reason why she wrote the book is because she was working just like we do as designers. She was going in every day, getting out really late, and she prioritized her work over her health. And by doing that, there was a day in which she was standing up in her office and she was ready to go out and travel somewhere. And all of a sudden she just collapsed. She fainted, she hit her head on the corner of her desk and she was bleeding out. And then she was found. And from that day onward, she realized it was from exhaustion because that's what her doctor said. That's what got her to write this book and do the research that she did. And I feel like everything that you read in that book and the way that she describes it is exactly what we feel as designers when we pull those all-nighters.
Sure.
I don't know if you've pulled all-nighters in architecture school, but how did you feel if you ever did?
I don't know if this, you know, having not been a graphic design major or you know, furniture design major or anything like that, I don't know how all those majors necessarily worked and if they did all-nighters, but I remember architecture studio being a, like you said, almost like a badge of honor that you, like, sleeping, if you didn't sleep and you were there all night and you did stuff, that it would be, I don't know, like somehow you'd get like this imaginary gold star, you know, like just because you're the best of the best.
Yeah.
I remember pulling several all-nighters, especially when I was in college. I've only done probably two or three since I left school. I haven't had to, fortunately, I haven't had to because of work and other things. I haven't really had to do them since then, at least for my job. But they are, especially when they're put up on a pedestal like that, it's tough not to feel almost good in the moment that you're doing them. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, oh yeah, I'm riding this wave and it's really great and I'm getting stuff done. And like you said, I thought that the way you described you sitting in front of the computer was perfect, because you really do feel like you are working at like light speed and you're probably like not even like typing well, you know, or you're not even like sketching well. You're just like barely able to like sit still versus just even like produce what you're supposed to produce. It's funny that you brought up it's not funny. It's a very serious thing with Arianna Huffington. Yeah. But like I had a very like eerily similar experience in college. Mm-hmm. So I remember going to a class. It was an advanced calculus class that, this is how nerdy I was, Tim, that I don't even know if you know this about me, but I opted out of my math classes because I did so well in high school.
Wow.
And then I took another nerdy math class, even though I didn't have to, when everybody else was taking, because I wanted to feel, everybody else in school had to take this one basic calculus class.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to feel like everybody else, so I took this class.
Yeah.
The reason I say that is because my story takes place in this math building. Mm-hmm. I can remember what this place looks like down to the detail, because of how profound this memory is.
Yeah.
So I remember being up for an all-nighter, possibly 2 nights in a row, with maybe like one nap or so. And when you're down to that little amount of sleep, technically it's only naps. It's not even really like sleeping. So I remember in the middle of my class, just like feeling like I was gonna like pass out and like fall over in my desk. And like there's a little bit of a, it's like a smaller classroom in a very old building. When you walk out into the sort of corridor, it's big, open, and there's like this, I can remember it very vividly. There's like this red, like square ceramic tile that's like this really cool rustic red tile. The reason why I remember the tile is because I walked out immediately thinking I'm gonna like pass out or something like that, and I can't do this in front of like literally the whole class. I walk out, I'm just gonna get a drink of water, and I fall immediately onto my face and like everything onto this red tile. And I immediately, I was like shooken up. I like, at that point, I had closed the door. Nobody knew that that was happening to me because I had gotten down at least part of the hallway, and like nobody knew. And this wasn't a busy building, it's the math building. It's like, like I got to the all like 2 feet away from the drinking fountain just to like refresh myself, and I remember feeling like the cool like red tile on my face, like just like laying there. Like I didn't have the experience where I hit my head on anything. I luckily wasn't injured in any way. I was just like startled, and I immediately said to myself, "This is not healthy." Now, I did not have a profound sort of come to Jesus moment like Arianna Huffington did. I still was very happy to do all-nighters. I just didn't. I kind of made this unspoken promise to myself that I wasn't going to do as many as I had done to get me to that point. Like I could recognize a little bit more about how bad it was for me, but this is a real thing. Like this happens, and it's especially scary in the moment because when you're that young, like I was still in college, like you don't know what's happening to you. And at that point, like I hadn't had any like significant health issues up in my life. Like I'm just a normal kid, and like I got to college, I thought that that's what you did when you go to architecture school, is you spent all your nights like I remember the admissions person saying to me like, "Oh, well, like in front of my parents, like you guys are never gonna see him again. He's just gonna like disappear and like into the night, and like it's just like that's what they do." And I was just like, okay. I mean, like from the point, even before I started school, it was like ingrained. The thing that I remember though as well is there's always those kids, there's always somehow they just manage to still do the work, go home at like an absolutely normal time, and their critiques and their like reports of like what they and feedback for their projects was comparable to everybody else's. And like sometimes it was way worse because they didn't try, but like for the most part, if you average it out across every class and every studio, there's something to be said about just being efficient so that you can go get that sleep. And I kind of wonder now that we're talking about this and looking back, is it just because they got sleep, so then they got were more efficient, so then they got more sleep, and then they were just more efficient? I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about all those things, especially the badge of honor that people wear in school, because the reason why I started doing it, I actually never pulled an all-nighter until my, I would say maybe junior year to senior year. And until that point, the only reason why I did it was because I started to meet more people. I didn't really socialize when I was in school, but I started socializing, and it became a point of camaraderie. When you're there late at night with your group of friends or whatever, everyone's just kind of hanging out. You're in this together. That's like the feeling you have, and you're like, "Oh, I can stay up longer than you," or like it's a joke. Eventually, the joke becomes real, and it's like, "Okay, I've been up 62 hours. Like, how much longer can I stay up?" And I remember someone who kept using it as a badge of honor and saying that he didn't sleep for 72 hours and started to hallucinate. And I was like, I don't understand why we do that to ourselves, because at some point, your health really does starts to depreciate.
Yep.
When you walk by the vending machines at an architecture school, and I'm assuming that it's the same in all other design professions because we have this goal of creating. But when I walked by those vending machines, they were always empty. Always. Like, the Aramark people that come to refill them couldn't do it in time. Like, it was always going to be empty.
Yeah.
The coffee machines are always empty. Everyone's drinking, like, 6 cups of coffee a day, double shot of espresso. My morning routine was, like, a cup of coffee, half full, with 4 shots of espresso, and I would go in and do my work. And then I would come back and do it again at night, and I was just like, why am I, like, I'm spending money?
Right.
I'm so caffeinated. My blood was just caffeine. And I didn't do the junk food thing, but I did go out and buy Wendy's and, like, burgers and all this, like,
that's what I was going to say is, like, you get to this point where you're either bored or you do get to a point where your body, like, needs to have more food.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you're exhausted, it needs actually more food than you would normally have.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, like, it's like your brain is, like, just trying to, like, claw at, like, whatever it can get so that it, like, still keeps functioning.
Yeah.
And I remember that being actually, you know, as a counter, or not a counter to this, but, like, as building on what you're saying, like, I remember that was probably the worst, aside from sleep, the worst, like, eating, drinking, not alcohol, but, like, soda and,
yeah,
like, sugary things and things that had caffeine.
And energy drinks,
right,
too.
It was, like, the worst time in my entire life for that. And, you know, it's funny, but it's, I just thought of something, too. There's this, it's not really a joke, but it's sort of a joke that my wife and I have because I was dating her the entire time mm-hmm. I was in college or most of it. And she remembers what I was like when I was in studio. And we have this joke where it's like, well, I'm still recovering from studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I said that literally for like years after I got out of school.
Yeah.
And it's true. I felt like I got out of studio after all these all-nighters and all this like extra food and all this stuff, and it was just like, it's like in your system.
Yeah.
Like you just have, because like when I left school, I felt like, oh well, why aren't we doing all-nighters at work? Like,
yeah.
Should I be doing all-nighters at work? Like,
yeah,
I don't understand.
And then you watch movies,
right,
where like the architects are always in their office at night because they had this one project. And it is true. There
right.
are firms where, you know, architects will sit, and also design firms, where they'll sit at their computers throughout
right.
through the night because they
right.
had to make a deadline that they just heard about that week or whatever. Yeah. Like, it is true, and I have seen people at my office stay pretty late.
Right.
I don't know about an all-nighter, but they've stayed relatively late.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good point, and the saddest part about all this is there are people who pass away because mm-hmm. of the all-nighters, not because they're sleep-deprived and they pass away at their desk, you know, or whatever, but more from, just like you said, from collapsing or from not being able to do just the human physical things like driving a car.
Right.
You know, in my freshman year, that summer, it's unfortunate, but one of the people in my year passed away driving her car.
Yep.
She was driving a car and she fell asleep behind a wheel, and then she ended up crashing into the gutter or something like that, and then from there she passed away. And so it's sad because it's someone that we all knew.
Right.
And it was like, that could happen to any of us. And they sat us down the next day, you know, like when we all came back, they're like, this is what happened. Make sure you guys sleep.
Yeah.
Even though they said that, the amount of work that everyone had to do, it kind of forced some of the students to decide, should I sleep or should I do this work?
Right.
And there were professors who also didn't encourage the not sleeping, but they pushed students so hard that the students felt anxious about doing the work and
yeah.
performing. And I think that culture needs to change, you know? Like, when I was teaching the freshman year of architecture, I went in and I made sure that the days before the final review, I would go in, sit down with everyone, I brought in fruits and stuff, talk to the students, and I said, look, this time at night, you have an hour, I'm shutting the door, you all have to leave. Like, no one's allowed to stay here after this time frame, because once that time came, I knew they were going to stay up all night. And I was like, I have to kick them out. And it's sad to come to that point where you have to physically kick people out. But I said, don't worry about your grades. It's about doing what you've done so far, going home and coming in and being at your best. And it's the same at certain schools now where they actually shut down computer labs.
Right.
And say, you know, at this time, all the computers are shut down. So,
well, it's something I've never talked to you about this. So when I was back on break, this is how intense this sometimes gets. Is like, so if you're doing, let's say you're a person who's used to doing the all-nighters, or you're used to doing that, then you get acclimated to it. It becomes almost like a thing that your body is okay with every now and then. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you can push yourself later and later. Even if you don't do an all-nighter, you feel like you can stay up until, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever.
Yeah.
So I remember being back from break, and I was coming home from something, and there's a, the best way I can describe it is, so I'm back in my hometown, I'm driving down the street, and there's a bend where, a very obvious bend to anybody who's like normally driving. And I'm going straight, I'm approaching the bend, and I'm driving a minivan at the time, and I just keep going. Yeah. And the car ended up being totaled, but I hit a pole that wrapped around the front right wheel of the minivan. So I don't know how I hit this thing. It literally ripped the wheel off of the minivan, and I was like skidding into the sidewalk. Like then I realized I needed to turn. So somehow like I was like trying to get away from it. I don't know, whatever. And so I'm just sitting there with the minivan on the sidewalk, and I'm just like, what the frick happened?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
And I realized that I was like sleepy.
Yeah.
And that I like, that had to be the thing. Cause I like, there was like this moment of like, not total blackout, but like of, it's the same thing that happened when you're like in front of the screen and you think you're like going at like 100 miles an hour, and you're just like, here we go. Here, this is, I'm getting so much done right now.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. It wasn't that I had fallen asleep. It was that I had been, what I thought was being alert was like down to such a low level that like I wasn't even like really paying attention until it was too late. And at that point, you know, like I said, the car ended up being totaled, because it like, it was missing a wheel and it wasn't worth like fixing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was my, you know, even though I should have learned from the time where I fell on the floor, I think that was my moment where I was like, this is not right.
Yeah, the long blinks are dangerous,
you know,
especially when you drive. And I think it's important then just to talk about, for me, what I found to be the most important part from reading the Sleep Revolution book. And it's something that we all know, but we don't ever look at it the way that it's explained. So the reason why it's important for us to sleep is because our bodies work on this circadian rhythm every day. And when we're on that pattern of sleeping, what it helps our body do is it helps us process everything, and then it helps us rejuvenate for the next day. It helps us clear all of the things that built up in your brain, you know, throughout that day, so that the next day that you wake up is a much clearer day for you. And to be able to work through one day of clarity like that is important. It helps you work more efficiently, helps you work more accurately, and it helps you become a lot more aware. You know, you don't look at the screen and think you're moving at 100 miles an hour.
Right.
You actually know how quickly you're doing something. And I remember times where I would redo the same thing over and over again because I thought I was doing a great job at refining my design, and in reality I was only making it worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And by the next day when I looked at it after getting that 1 hour nap, I was just like, how did it get to this point? And I had to redo the work, and it just wasted time. So now I sleep because of that. I need to process everything I did. And sometimes I dream about what I did that day, and then the next day is just a totally new day for me. And I also don't want to ever go back into that unhealthy habit of drinking so much coffee. I don't even drink coffee anymore, which is, it surprises people.
Yeah, I don't know how you could, that is the one thing that, and that may be an entirely other discussion at some point, but like, I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I cut coffee out of my life completely. I don't drink anything related to coffee in that sense.
What about
anymore.
Tea?
I drink tea, but I don't drink coffee at all.
What kind of tea?
I drink, I like a tea from a company called Yogi, I think they are. They make a really good sweet tangerine tea. Mm-hmm. And I drink that every morning. That's it. One little bag of tea and I'm done for the whole day. And even now when I drink tea that has a little bit more caffeine than usual, I have trouble sleeping at night. And because of that, I don't drink that tea.
Yep.
So for me, it's important to sleep at night and at a certain time, like to have that time that I put my head down and I turn everything off and I go to sleep. And I hate getting interrupted when I sleep now. I don't sleep with my phone facing up, and I have an alarm, which I've contemplated getting rid of because I don't like waking up to my alarm from a deep sleep. Whenever that happens, I just feel like my day is wrecked, you know? It's just like my brain feels like I should have slept a little bit more. But by getting the sleep on at the same time every night, my body's in this rhythm where like I can perform very well from 6 in the morning to like 9 at night. And after 9, that's my cutoff point, you know? But I perform very efficiently and I get so much done in that time frame. So yep. Sleep has changed my life very drastically from that perspective. I've actually been able to do a lot more now that I'm sleeping, in lieu of pulling all-nighters and assuming that the amount of time I'm adding to my day is helping me do a lot more. Granted, for some people, they might actually only need 4 hours of sleep, you know? A good example of that might be Gary Vee. Gary Vee basically doesn't sleep that much, but he does say that sleep is important. He has had conversations with Ariane Huffington on his podcast, and he agreed that people should sleep. But there are times when he doesn't sleep because he has to do something too. So the reason why I think it's important is because this seems to be a point of contention for a lot of people. People who follow Steve Jobs, people who follow, you know, like prolific people like him and Steve Aoki, who's a DJ, massive DJ, you know, he even came out with a documentary on Netflix called I'll Sleep When I'm Dead, right? And there are people who have died, like we said, from not sleeping, and it's just an unfortunate thing that could happen. So I think it's just important for us to bring this out and to talk about it openly. And hopefully people who listen to this episode will pass it on to a student who's in school now who might be in that moment of not sleeping and using it as a badge of honor, you know, who makes pyramids out of their energy star drinks and all of that. Like, there are people in my college class who were making pyramids and stacks and stuff of like the drinks that they've drank that night. Right. And it was always like bad stuff, you know?
Like, there are there are times where I think, you know, not, especially with like, if you're at a time of your life where you're just hanging out with friends, it was like late nights. Like, I remember, like, I play a lot of video games.
Yeah.
I remember, like, in college, there would be nights, especially because I was away for school for most of the semester, mm-hmm. I would come back, everybody would be in the same area, and we would just get together and have like game nights, essentially, that where we're playing video games like all night. But it's like a controlled place. Like, we got all the food and drinks and stuff that we needed. We just sat there, and as nerdy as this is, like, it was a controlled experience where everybody understood that they weren't leaving. You know, mm-hmm. we were just going to hang out. It was effectively a college sleepover.
Yeah.
And, like people weren't going to go anywhere. Yeah. We were just going to, like, hang out, and then everybody could leave when they, you know, when the sun came up or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a controlled environment. I think the problem is that when you're in school, or even when you're not, and you're doing this for work, and you know you need to leave that place that you're at, and you need to somehow function the next day, mm-hmm. you know, this... It's not the same. It's not the same, and you have to be aware of, I think, not only the immediate task that you are staying up for, but how that will affect you days afterwards.
Yeah.
Not just the day after, but days after. Yeah. So like, the way I think about it, and the thing that's helped me sort of negotiate my time a little bit better, is that I know that if I stay up tonight, tomorrow's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, I almost immediately lost tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no functionality in my brain, really. There's no way for me to be efficient about anything. Like, tomorrow is done.
Yeah.
And as I get older, it just gets worse in mm-hmm. terms of, like, I just need to make sure I have that much sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, I know roughly what my min and max is now. And I think that the problem is like you don't know. Like in some ways, I want people to experience this and like understand what it's like to just not, like, if they haven't before, mm-hmm. just understand like what an all-nighter really does to you, mm-hmm. because you don't know what it is until like you do it.
Yeah.
That said, it is very unsafe mm-hmm. to do it in a situation where it's not a controlled situation. Mm-hmm. But once you know, you kind of, anybody who's done an all-nighter is listening to me now and being like, yeah, I completely understand what you mean. Like, yeah. I do not function properly the yeah. next day. The thing that gets weird is like, I have had issues in the past where I only get like 5 hours of sleep mm-hmm. or 5.5 hours of sleep mm-hmm. and 6 hours of sleep during a normal work week.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just because of the fact that I need to wake up really early and I'm still going to bed relatively mm-hmm. early, but it's not quite enough because of how early I have to get up the next day. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm avoiding sleep or that I'm not getting sleep. I'm just not getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I've at least read about a little bit is like your sleep debt and mm-hmm. like the cumulative loss of sleep over time mm-hmm. also affects you. So like you could say to yourself, yeah, I'm getting 6 hours of sleep. But if you're a person who your body naturally needs 8 mm-hmm. every day, that's going to wear on you over time. And you might eventually feel the same effects of being not an all-nighter level, but like, you're going to be groggy. Mm-hmm. We haven't even talked about how irritable people can be when they're not, like, you don't make logical decisions mm-hmm. when you're sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that you've experienced that too, but like I become a different person yeah. When I don't have enough sleep.
Yeah. And I get very irritable
yeah.
when I don't get enough sleep. And it definitely ruins relationships, you know, like if you're always pulling all-nighters and then you're always angry for some odd reason.
Yeah.
And I think the last thing I just wanted to touch on is for anyone who has trouble sleeping at night because they have ideas running through their head like I used to,
yeah.
what I found to help me is to sleep with a journal nearby. And when I have an idea that just won't go away, I'll take the journal out and I'll write it down. I'll write my ideas down and then I'll go to sleep. These days, I don't have that issue because right before I fall asleep, I have a journal and I log everything in and then I go to sleep from there. That way, I don't feel like I'm gonna lose an idea, or I don't feel the anxiety of that happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll just write it down and be able to sleep after that. And if it's really a problem for some people, there's also things you can do, like drinking tea that has lavender in it, or you know, yeah. like having lavender in the room, like little things like that. I'm fortunate enough not to be at that point where I need all of that, but right. I did find it very helpful to have a journal at night just to write down what happened that day, what my ideas are, and put it down, put it to rest, and then just go to sleep.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's not even like the creative thing. Sometimes one of the things I've recently heard is to just sit still, like in bed almost, and like let your mind wander with the things that you did that day and the mm-hmm. things that you're going to do the next day.
Yeah.
Because then anything that you know, there have been studies and things linked to like why you even have nightmares.
Yeah.
And like when you have the nightmares.
Yeah.
And it's because in some ways your mind is trying to deal with things that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without getting into all the psychology of it, it really comes down to, is your brain really resting when you're sleeping? Mm-hmm. And are there ways that you can kind of like almost talk out what's happening so that you are, this might sound cheesy, but like designing the way that you sleep, mm-hmm. like you're like creating the framework
yeah.
for how you're going to sleep, and it's a choice that you're making to do that
yeah.
that way.
And I think that's a really good way of doing it. What I used to do is I used to take a hot shower or a hot bath before I slept, and that yeah. would help me kind of like calm my body down too. And during that shower, I would think through those things that like you were saying, just
right.
think through the day and let it all come out. Once I was done, I just felt ready for bed.
Yeah.
So,
and I think the one thing that I've been dealing with over the last couple months, just because I've been in, you know, like you said, we're in the like August time. This is like the height of construction season. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've been dealing with lately is the stress of knowing that I'm going back to the office the next day and I have a laundry list of things to mm-hmm. deal with. So I've been trying to do just what we talked about, because sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and maybe not even the middle of the night, but like within an hour or two of when I'm supposed to wake up, and like I will be awake because I know, like then I start remembering all the things I need to deal with in that day, and I can't actually finish out the rest of my sleep. And so I think that I really do recommend at least thinking about ways that you can sort of clear your mind before you go to bed, and trying to de-stress yourself, because it's at least been helping me, because then you won't wake up. It's really important not to break your sleep too, because then you could wake up in the middle of a cycle or like whatever and feel groggy just because you, you know, woke up the wrong way almost. And I think trying to get as much sleep that you can that's right for, you know, your age and your, you have to almost test it out, but getting enough sleep for yourself, trying to de-stress and prioritizing all this stuff is something that will ultimately, I think, make you a more pleasant, active person. I mean, that's really at the end of the day why you need to do this, aside from the just safety reasons that we've talked about.
And I think it's just a good way of making sure that you stay healthy, you know, and sleep should never be the first thing that you sacrifice in order to get something done. It should be one of the last things you ever sacrifice.
Yeah.
All right, guys, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.